Quinnen Williams removes all mentions of the Jets from his Twitter profile. Yes, it's so slow in the NFL right now that this is actually generating a lot of attention. It's not time to panic. It's not necessarily a sign Quinnen Williams is leaving. And I'll explain why on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Monday, May 15th, 2023, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. Subscribe to the show for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so that you'll get new episodes as soon as they're posted. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give this show a five-star review. And if you're watching on YouTube, give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the channel out, help other Jets fans find us. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Well, today we are talking about Quinnen Williams' social media profile, because that seems to be the big news around the Jets to begin this week. Quinnen Williams, who of course is the Jets' best player and is seeking a new contract, has removed any mention of the Jets from his Twitter profile. It was noticed over the last day or two that his Twitter profile now says defensive tackle for blank. So there's no name there. It does not say defensive tackle for the Jets anymore, and this has led to some panic, I guess, because Quinnen Williams, as we know, is unhappy over his contract situation. He wants a new deal. He said that he wanted a new deal before the offseason program began. Now that the offseason program has begun and he's still unsigned, he is skipping the offseason program. He does not have much recourse. And I go back to this. In the NFL, players can't really do much to gain leverage on their team. One of the things they can do is skip the offseason program, and that's because aside from a three-day minicamp near the end of the offseason program, everything's voluntary. You don't need to go and work out with your team, and as I've mentioned on this show, and you everydayers, folks who tune into this podcast every day know, I don't worry about a Quinnen Williams the way I might with a player who needs to develop, maybe a Jeremy Ruckert or a Brandon Echols, somebody you're looking to get practice reps with the team. I think the offseason program can matter for a player like that. Quinnen Williams knows how to prepare for the season. And it's just the players don't really have much recourse. He can't really hold out. In today's NFL, it happens occasionally, but it's rare to see a player hold out because you don't get paid and you get fined. So you end up having to pay the team if you hold out. And that's true of training camp. It's true if you get into the regular season, you don't get paid if you don't play. So there aren't really many things that players can do. And if you follow the NFL, especially over the last couple of years, another thing that you'll see players do from time to time is do something on social media, like remove mention of the team you play for from your profile like this, unfollow the team on social media. It's kind of a sign of the times. It's the new way for players to express their discontent. Now, I'm not saying Quinnen Williams is happy with the Jets right now. Obviously, he's not. But I'm saying that it's a big leap to say that this is now a sign Quinnen Williams is on his way out. And I think that a lot of people have jumped to that conclusion at this point in time, and it's too early to say that. You see this all the time in the NFL, that a star player doesn't get what he wants immediately, so he gets frustrated, negotiations become acrimonious. Well, as soon as the team and player agree to a new deal, bygones become bygones. And more often than not, the star player does get paid. It doesn't always happen, but that's further down the road. I'm not saying Quinnen Williams is a lock to be a Jet his whole career. We've seen that that's not always the case. We've seen the Jets let some good players leave the building. But I think we're a little early in the game for panic. And I think that there is a lot of panic today. And I think part of it's just we're in the quiet point of the NFL offseason. We're in the middle of May. There's not a lot going on. I guess, the offseason program's continuing, but you get a few updates. There's not really a lot going on there. We do have that mini camp that's going to be coming up at some point. But there's no draft to talk about. The Jets have already made their draft picks. There's no free agents to talk about, so we can't speculate on who the Jets are going to sign the way we could earlier in the offseason. The games are still months away. The Jets don't even begin training camp until the end of July. So we're a long way off from having real news. If this happened during the season, I'm sure it would generate attention, but nobody would really care. We'd be focused on the next opponent. It's just we have really nothing to talk about right now, and the media landscape is such that an NFL team is going to generate attention at any point during the calendar year, even in the offseason. People are going to be focused on what's going on with the team. So you have to figure out a way to generate content so people will jump to wild conclusions, and I'll generate content by pointing out that these conclusions are wild that they're jumping to. Now, there actually was another interesting follow-up report from this from this Quinnen Williams thing. There was a reporter for Fox Sports, Henry McKenna, who cites a source that Williams is seeking a contract between $25 and $30 million per year, which would be more than Jeffrey Simmons and less than Aaron Donald. He also quotes an anonymous source. He loves the Jets. He just wants to get paid. Hopefully it does not get messy. And I got to say, at $25 to $30 million a year, you would think that this negotiation, there would be no reason for this negotiation to get acrimonious, because that's, you know, that's pretty market value. That's less than Aaron Donald. That's, you know, that sounds about right for Quinnen. So you would hope that there's no reason to doubt that this is going to get done. That's a pretty reasonable deal. And you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting about the salary cap in the next couple of years is that it's going to go way up. And the reason for that is the NFL's new TV deal is kicking in this year. And you may wonder, how is the salary cap number determined? Well, it's actually just a percentage of the revenues the league gets. And the league doesn't quite, the TV revenue for the league's not quite going to double in the new TV deal, but it's going to come close. So the cap's going to go way up. So even a deal that seems kind of ridiculous on paper right now may not be such a bad deal, because you have to factor in how much the cap's going to go up by. And it may end up being actually a deal that looks kind of big now. You'll see some contracts where numbers are going to be look a little large. A lot of them are actually going to be market value deals. Now, you're going to see some teams that have no idea how to manage the cap, and they will give out really dumb contracts. And they'll use that rationale to say the cap's going up, and it'll actually not be a valid excuse. But for players like Quinnen Williams, you know, the numbers, you may say 25 to 30 million, that's a lot. I don't think it really is when you factor in just how much the salary cap is going to go up over the next couple of years. So I'm not necessarily overly nervous right now. The only thing that makes me nervous is the Jets' track record in situations like this, because, and this goes back to the first days of Woody Johnson's ownership, when the Jets ended up trading Keyshawn Johnson to Tampa Bay, it feels like it's always more difficult for the Jets to keep their great players. And we have not had that many in the Woody Johnson era, but when the Jets have had great players, outside of, you know, Nick Mangold, DeBrickashaw, Ferguson, it's felt like every contract has been difficult to get done. And even the cases where the deal eventually gets done, it seems like it's more difficult than it should be. So that's where I get a little worried about this, but I think we're in the, you know, we're in the quiet part of the offseason. Everything's done. We can't speculate on draft picks. We can't speculate on free agents. We don't have enough to talk about with games. Training camp's not really close. So in the absence of anything else to discuss, Quinnen Williams' social media profile is going to get completely overanalyzed. And, well, I guess you could blame me. You could say, well, John, you just spent the first segment of your Monday show talking about it. It's only to address that you should not panic at this point in time. I'm not saying that it's a lock. I'm not saying that there will be no point in time necessarily in the future where we can panic. I think, you know, we will get to a point, and I'll tell you when it is, where I'll start to get a little worried. I don't think we're there yet, though. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll continue this Monday episode. We're going to talk about some comments the Jets made about how they handled Zach Wilson. These comments came out over the weekend. Did the Jets really mishandle Zach Wilson? I think you could argue it, but I don't think that's the biggest reason behind Zach Wilson's struggles, and I'll explain why ahead here on this Monday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Well, sorry, Knicks fans. The Knicks have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs. It's Miami against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's Denver versus the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. But you can still make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So you may not have a rooting interest in these games anymore, but Miami-Boston, an Eastern Conference Finals rematch. In fact, These teams have played in three of the last four Eastern Conference finals. The Heat beat the Celtics in 2020 in the bubble in Orlando. Last year, the Celtics got their revenge. Who wins this third meeting between the teams? And then the Western Conference, you got Denver trying to get to the NBA Finals against LeBron, trying to win one more title. It's exciting stuff. And there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen every day. And every day, or tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Jets' 2021 draft class. What can still happen to salvage this class as it enters its third year? And of course, the most prominent player from the 2021 draft class is a player who has frankly failed, and that's Zach Wilson, who the Jets drafted 2 years ago to be their quarterback of the future, and now he's not even their quarterback of the present. That's Aaron Rodgers. Of course, it's exciting to have Aaron Rodgers, but if Zach Wilson was playing the way the Jets hoped he would be playing, Aaron Rodgers would not be here. And over the last couple of days, Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, has given an interview where he says that the Jets have to take some of the blame for Zach Wilson's struggles. He spoke to Pro Football Talk and said that the Jets should have brought in a veteran quarterback to help Zach Wilson out, and Douglas specifically mentioned Joe Flacco. The Jets let Joe Flacco leave as a free agent after the 2020 season. He went to Philadelphia, and the Jets ended up trading for him during the 2021 season, and Flacco was around in 2022. And Douglas suggested that if Joe Flacco was around, maybe Zach Wilson could have avoided some of his struggles. Now, I think it's fair to say that the Jets maybe did not handle certain aspects of Zach Wilson's development well. I think as we look back, we can say that the hiring of Michael LaFleur was probably a mistake. Now, in the moment, I think it was not necessarily a terribly illogical hire. I think that there was a rational reason the Jets hired LaFleur. He was a guy off the Kyle Shanahan tree, one of the hottest offensive minds in the league. He worked under Kyle Shanahan. He had earned his way. He'd worked his way up. He had taken on part of the offensive responsibilities in San Francisco. He probably was due for a promotion to an offensive coordinator somewhere. If that did not work out, I don't know that this is necessarily an issue that the Jets should have brought in a veteran quarterback. Now, I don't think Zach Wilson was ready to play, and I think that's the biggest issue. And I think that, right or wrong, it's very difficult to sit the second overall pick for 2 years, and I don't think Zach Wilson was ready to step into the lineup. So if we're talking about a quarterback like Joe Flacco, would that have made a difference? Because I think what Flacco would have done, Flacco probably would have played his way out of the lineup very quickly. And we're talking about a placeholder quarterback for a rookie. When he plays poorly enough, the rookie goes in. And that's just the way the NFL works. And maybe it should not work that way. In fact, I would even say that the NFL should not work that way. But there are very few teams willing to take a stand on something like that. If a team drafts a quarterback second overall, he's going to be in the lineup. And teams just don't have the guts to sit a second overall quarterback because they hear from the fan base, they hear from the media, at some point the owner starts listening, and the second overall pick goes into the lineup. So if you look back in 2021, there's a case to be made Zach Wilson probably would have benefited from sitting at least the first couple of weeks. But the Jets had an early bye that year. They had a trip to London to play the Falcons. So I look at this and I ask myself, let's say the plan was to play Flacco until the bye after the first five games. Would Zach Wilson sitting those first five games have really benefited him? Or would it have tremendously changed the trajectory of his career? And to me, the answer to that's a pretty clear no. Now, yes, he would have sat down. He would not have thrown four interceptions his first home game against the New England Patriots. He would not have thrown a couple of interceptions the next week against the Denver Broncos. So from that standpoint, maybe his stat line would have been spared a bit. But I just don't see where bringing in a Flacco-type placeholder would have made that big of a difference, because I think the Jets eventually would have put Zach Wilson into the lineup. And they indicated that they went with a very young team that year. They did have the youngest 53-man roster in the NFL, so their view was essentially not just a quarterback, but in other spots as well. We're just going to play these young guys. They're going to make mistakes, and they'll be better from their experience. And obviously that did not work out very well with Zach Wilson. I think the issue with Zach Wilson is just he was a bigger project than the Jets realized. How much can we blame the Jets? I think you have to blame the Jets some. I mean, a draft pick like this that is so important and fails in such a profound way, the team can't escape that. But at the same time, I don't think we can act like the Jets would have been the only team to draft Zach Wilson high in 2021. There were plenty of, if the Jets did not draft Zach Wilson second overall, he probably would have gone somewhere in the top 5 or top 10. There were reasons Zach Wilson was drafted high. There was a lot of physical ability. And the BYU film from his last season there was pretty good. Unfortunately, there were also things there that were pretty big flaws. And those things have been pretty prevalent in the NFL. And I think if you look back on this, yes, the Jets probably should have hired a better coordinator than Mike LaFleur. And I think there's an argument to be made that maybe going so young with and so inexperienced a coordinator with a rookie coming into the league, you can make a case that that's a mistake. I think you can make a fair case that that's a mistake. Should the Jets have brought in a better backup quarterback? Should the Jets have had a more of a veteran presence at quarterback? Again, I think you can argue that that's fair. Would we still be sitting here with Zach Wilson having failed? I mean, I think the answer to that is yes, because I think Zach Wilson really was a quarterback who, if you could do it over, I don't think you would draft him second overall. He was not ready to play year one. He was not ready to play year two. He was a quarterback who is much more raw than the Jets realized. He needed to sit multiple years. And to me, that's the type of quarterback that you should not draft second overall. Because drafting a quarterback second overall kind of forces you to put him in the lineup, unless you have a lot of guts, especially in New York, to stand up to the media and to the fans. I don't know that the Jets have that degree of courage. So I think if you could do it all over again, I think this is across the NFL. If the 2021 draft had a redo, I don't think Zach Wilson's going in the first round. And I don't even think he's going in the second round. I think maybe he's going in the third round or fourth round. And you can try and explain these troubles away, and there are lots of ways you can do it, but I think ultimately the problem was just he was overdrafted. And again, should the Jets be blamed? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. In some ways, they missed some things. In other ways, you know, he was a consensus pretty high pick. So there's some nuance to it. But I don't think you can look back on this and say that that was the determining factor. I don't think it made that big of a difference. Zach Wilson goes in week 7 in 2021. I don't think any of the issues are fixed. I think he needed more time on the practice field. But part of this is with hindsight. And part of this is with 2 years of knowledge that we now have on Zach Wilson. I can't get behind the idea that Joe Flacco starting 5 games, though, is really going to make a difference for Zach Wilson in his career. Now, here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll move on from talking about Zach Wilson, a player who's here, to a player who may not be here going forward. That's Quan Alexander, who's visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday. We'll talk about Quan Alexander as we continue this Monday edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Monday. Let's now talk about free agency. It's still going on. There are still a handful of players out there looking for new teams. These tend to be players who are older, who are kind of just trying to hang on for one more year. The Jets signed a guy like this in the summer last year. It was Quan Alexander, who played linebacker, played reasonably well for the Jets. He was a decent player. He's still out there now, and he's visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night. And I thought Alexander, he had a pretty solid season for the Jets. He's that third linebacker right now. The Jets, two linebackers who are starters are C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams. Mosley is on a big contract. The Jets are keeping him around. Williams just signed a moderate contract this offseason. Now, one thing that I think kind of gets lost in the weeds when we talk about the NFL is people talk about defense as being a 3-4 or a 4-3. So it's either a 4-3 where you have 4 defensive linemen and 3 linebackers, or a 3-4, 3 defensive linemen and 4 linebackers. And these are viewed as the two prominent defensive schemes in the NFL. And it's kind of a misnomer to say that in today's league, because while this may have been true a number of years ago, it may have been true 15 years ago, these are really not the dominant defenses in the NFL. The dominant defense in the NFL is nickel, where you play 5 defensive backs, and you play you don't really have a 7-man front anymore, because most teams in the NFL are playing 3 receivers, so you need to add an extra defensive back on the field. And typically, it's a linebacker who comes off. So while people will tell you the Jets are a 4-3 defense, they're really a 4-2-5. 4 defensive linemen, 2 linebackers, and 5 defensive backs. And really, that third linebacker is more of a part-time player. He's not a starter the way people make him out to be. So in that sense, I think this Quan Alexander situation is less prevalent than people realize. I don't think Quan Alexander is not really a starting-level player for the Jets, but he does play a role in this defense. I think when you want to get heavier, when you do want to play that third linebacker, and it tends to be against more power-oriented teams, teams that will play 2 tight end sets instead of 3 wide receivers, then you want a linebacker there. He's also there for depth. I think he's one of the better backup linebackers in the NFL, and I think he played his role reasonably well last year. I think that he's a guy I would like to see the Jets bring back. And he's pretty clearly going to be affordable because there aren't many players. I'm sure there's somebody out there who could command a couple million dollars at this time of year. But generally speaking, the players who are going to command real money are already signed by this point. The guys who are still available now have waited until after the draft for any number of reasons, whether they're trying to recover from an injury or they're so old and they just want to hang on for one more year in the NFL. And part of the reason that they're still available is teams were kind of waiting till after the draft. I'm sure there were teams out there that said, we're going to see, maybe we'll draft a linebacker we like. And if we don't, then Aquan Alexander is going to still be available. I think that's kind of what the Jets' strategy was with a couple of guys that they signed right before the draft. And Connor McGovern was a guy who I thought would be there after the draft, but Connor McGovern ended up taking such a cheap deal that the Jets were like, well, why not? There are lots of guys out there, and some of them will be able to help teams. I think Aquan Alexander helped the Jets last year, but I don't think this is that big of a deal. I think this is one that's very easy to get carried away with because a lot of people view that third linebacker as a starting level player. It's not, though. The guy who's the starter is your nickel corner, the guy who plays the slot. That's Michael Carter II. And that's one of the things I think that NFL analysis is not really caught up with the way the systems work, because a lot of people would tell you your third corner is a backup. Your third corner is really a starter in today's NFL. It's your third linebacker who is the backup. So while I would like Quan Alexander back for depth purposes, while I think he's still got something to offer the Jets, and while I think he played well last year, I don't know that this is necessarily worthy of all the attention it's getting. I'm not sure it's necessarily as critical as folks make it out to be. Although I'd still be happy to see him back, and I'd be a little disappointed to see him go with the Steelers. This is not the move that makes or breaks the Jets, though. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. Please give the show a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source, or a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. These things help us out, help other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.